worship him for everything we have received thus far, for all the investments, for all the deposits. If God has done something in your life throughout this convention, throughout this conference, just thank him. Just thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. I want you to begin to thank him in anticipation now. Begin to thank him in anticipation, because he's yet going to do much. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, tonight we resign from every carnal ability. We resign from every ability that is sponsored or powered by the flesh. And we ask that you take preeminence. Thank you for all that you are doing, for all that you have done, and for all that you are yet to do. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may please be seated. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. We will not title the message. Whatever title at the end you feel you can give it. No man that worried entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Let me read from this translation. No soldier on service. I love this translation. No soldier on service entangled himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. And if also a man contend in the games, he is not crowned except he have contended lawfully. This is the ASV version. In this kingdom, nothing happens by chance. I want you to understand this. Whatever you see in this kingdom, whatever result any man commands, talking about genuine results, genuine manifestations, it can never be a function of coincidence or chance or luck. Everything that happens in this kingdom is consciously and deliberately activated. That means you don't jump into things, or things don't jump on you. You walk into things. And that is why we have such a thing as organic Christianity. In organic Christianity, that is the life aspect of Christianity. That is the living aspect of Christianity. That is the responsibility aspect of Christianity. Now, Paul, writing to his son here, shows verse 4. He said, if any man, he said, he that worried entangleth not himself with the affair of this life. Now look at your skin. Look at your skin. And say to yourself, repeat after me, this is my greatest enemy. Say it. I want to hear it. You are not saying it well. Look at yourself and say to your flesh, and say to your flesh, this is my greatest enemy. When you hear about power, you hear about power, you hear about power, there is only one thing that can stop you from attaining power. There's only one thing that can stop you from attaining power or accessing the power of God. It is the flesh. And Paul began to say, teach Timothy a very strong lesson. What becomes of you ultimately in this kingdom is a direct product of how you skillfully engage in the war that is before you. So life is all about warfare. Life is all about war. The kingdom is all about war. And how you prosecute this will determine what will become of you in the kingdom. And then Paul raised a very serious issue. He raised the issue of the flesh. He said, if you want to become relevant, if you want to access the crown or the crowns of the kingdom, then one thing is very, very necessary. You must not entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. You must not entangle yourself. You must not attach yourself to the affairs of this life. The reason why people don't pray is because of the flesh. Have you wondered why Paul said, therefore, mortify the deeds of the flesh? That word mortify, you know, it means literally kill. The word mortify means to kill. To kill. And in Romans chapter 6 verse 3, show me that scripture. Romans 6 3, let's do that scripture. Know ye not that as many of you that we are baptized with Christ, we are baptized into his death. So the first thing that happens to you, the first expectation of God is that you die. Know ye not that as many of us as we are baptized into Christ, we are first of all baptized into what? His death. So the first thing you must understand in the quest for power is called death. Many of you are still alive. And there are many things that can prove that you are still alive. There are many things that can still prove that you are still alive. And once you are alive, don't deceive yourself. You cannot access this kind of power we are talking about. And that's why I said, these things don't jump on men. Neither do you jump into it. You walk into them. W-A-L-K, you walk into them. He said, know ye not, don't you know that as many of us as we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his death. So that when you hear Paul pray in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. He knew what he was requesting. He knew what he was asking. Now do the next verse. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 now. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like now, listen to this is a very serious matter. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in the newness of life. That means this is not possible to walk in the newness of life is not possible outside of this death experience. So you cannot walk in the newness of life. You cannot be able to trap that dimension if you have not fulfilled the path of death. So what actually makes you live the resurrected life is when you have died. So if you have not died, you cannot live the resurrected life. Until you die, you can't live. Until you die, you can't live. Now, I'm going to show you three things today. There are three things I want to show you, and we will close. I won't speak for too long. But what God will do tonight will be eternal. What God will do tonight will have eternal, it will have an eternal implication. There are just three things I want to show you, and I pray that God will help us. Three things I want to show us. Now, Paul began to talk about how you can become successful in warfare. He just mentioned one thing. Don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Do you know why he made that comment? Let's dig. Let's inquire. Let's probe. Why did he say that? Let's do Daniel chapter 7. Let's do Daniel chapter 7. You will now see why Paul said, no soldier on service entangled himself with the affairs of this life. Verse 5 of Daniel chapter 5, of Daniel chapter 7. Do we have it already? And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear. And it raised up itself on one side. And it had three ribs in the mouth. It had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Still keep it. Follow me very attentively. This beast has three ribs in between its teeth, and a command was issued, arise and devour much flesh. Now it means this information here, arise, devour much flesh, gives us an information of the position of this beast before the arrival of the flesh. For it to arrive means it was on the ground. Are you following me? He said, arise and devour much flesh. Now, you know that the beast is a figure of the Antichrist. Am I correct? Now, it means that what energizes the gasoline, the power, the economy, that sponsors or that empowers the beast is the flesh. So the beast is meant to be on the ground except when the flesh appears. The only time the command for the beast to arise is only in the presence of the flesh. So what powers the enemy is the flesh. So there are two positions here. It is either the beast is on the ground or the beast is on its feet. And the only thing that can put the beast on the ground is when the flesh is absent, when the flesh is mortified. But any time the flesh shows up, the beast is empowered to arise. So that's why, if you're a carnal Christian, forget it. there is an automatic law. It's a system. It functions automatically. Once you are in the flesh, once you are carnal, the beast is empowered. That's why Paul said, no man that warreth. What inflates the power and the authority of the beast is when the flesh is absent. Look at it, it's a simple law here. He said, and it was said to it, arise. So, in other words, the beast was on the ground until the flesh arrived. So it means that every time you operate in the spirit, the beast is compelled to be on the ground. That's the position. So it means that the economy, listen to this, the economy that sponsors, this is very important, put it down, the economy that sponsors the beast is the flesh. The flesh is an economy in the spirit. The flesh is an economy in the spirit. And it is upon this economy that the beast is empowered. And that's how dangerous it is to operate in the flesh. That's why I said when I began that the flesh is your greatest enemy. You can see the reason. Because it is the flesh that empowers the beast. So there are many churches we have today. The one that is actually controlling the church is the beast. Because he has been empowered. When the structure of the church is controlled and navigated in the flesh, the one that is in charge is not Christ. The one that is in charge is the beast. So it's either the beast is put to the ground, to put to sleep by the activities of the spirit, or the beast is activated by the presence of the flesh. There are no two ways. It's either the beast is actively on his feet, or the beast is made to sleep. What will determine each position is what you make available. If you make available the flesh, the beast will rise, the beast will prosper. But if you walk in the spirit, that's why he said, when we walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of what? Do you get that now? He said, walk in the spirit, and you will not do what? You will not do what? You will not fulfill the lust. So the power of the beast automatically fails. And you know what then? It has three ribs. Now watch very closely. It has three ribs in its mouth. What are these three ribs? We are going to trace these three ribs. You know, when we talk about it, how did God create the first woman? He made the man to fall into a deep sleep. He operated his side and removed one rib and created. What was the name of the woman? Eve. Now, in that context, I want you to listen very carefully. Adam was the type of Jesus. He was the first man. He was the type of Jesus. Now that's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul will present Jesus to us as the last Adam and not the second Adam. Because if you have the second Adam, you need the third Adam, you need the fourth Adam, you need the fifth, sixth, it will continue. Jesus came as the last Adam. So there was the first Adam. Now going by that logic, it will mean that Eve became the first Eve, which is also a type of the. So we are bringing out two things. Jesus, who is last Adam, was typified in the first Adam, who was his type. Then if that is the case, we can also interpret that Eve became the first Eve, which is a type of the church. Are we correct? So we have the first Adam and we have the first Eve. Typologies of Christ and the church. Now, hold your thought. Still keep the scripture. When Jesus went to the cross, in John chapter 19, there was a similar process. Although in the Garden of Eden, it was God that performed the operation on the first Adam. Now, on the cross, where the last Adam was crucified, a soldier stood up and thought he was the one navigating that action. But it was prompted by an eternal action. He went to the last Adam. And Pierre, do we have a doctor here? Do we have a medical doctor here? What we call hypovolemic, is it hypovolemic shock? Is a situation where somebody must have passed through a lot of stress and all the liquid content goes to the sac of the heart. Do you think Jesus passed through something like that? The stress he passed through. Now, this is a very strong, that's a doctor. You understand what I'm talking about? So Jesus passed through a stress. I don't know the right, I think it's called, give him the mic, please. Let me get the right word. It's hypovolemic shock or something like that. Am I correct? Hypovolemic shock. Now listen, he passed through a condition, a medical condition called hypovolemic shock. And by that condition, it meant that every liquid in his system went to the heart. There is a bag of the heart. And for that to happen, it meant that is the left part. This side. So that soldier came to Jesus with a sword. And he thrust the side of Jesus. He pierced the side of Jesus. Does it not look like what God did to the first Adam? It was the side. And when he did that, the miracle that happened is that the liquid content separated. It would have been just one kind of liquid content, blood, red, reddish, but it separated to pass a message. The first thing that came out was blood, an indicative of the fact that the price has now been paid. The salvific price has been paid, so nothing stops the power anymore. Then followed by water. So I can rightly guess that where he pierced was the left side of Jesus, the ribs. And when you give birth naturally, there are two things that shows up: blood and water. Am I correct? That's if it's not by operation. So that was where the church was actually born, the last Eve. The first Eve was born in the garden. The last Eve was born at the cross. Because blood and water is a sign of birth. So it came out, that's the ribs. So the ribs represents the church. And the Bible tells us that this beast has how many ribs? Three. So the church is the last Eve. And the last Eve came out from the side of the last Adam on the cross. Just like the first Eve came out from the side of the first Adam. And the instrument the devil will use against the last Eve will not be far from the raw material that produced it, that produced her. And that is why Jesus wrote to the church and he identified the three most dangerous doctrines. And these are the doctrines that sponsors the flesh. So the three ribs in the mouth of the beast here represents the three most dangerous doctrines. The doctrine of the flesh. The three doctrines of the flesh. Let's travel to Revelation chapter 2. After tonight, you will look at your flesh and you will hate it. Your priorities will change from tonight. Your priorities will change. Revelation chapter 2. Jesus wrote a letter to the church. Let's see verse
14. Verse 14. Are we there? But I have a few things against you. Who is writing this letter now? Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, the first doctrine of the flesh, in the first rib. The first rib that was in the mouth of that beast is represented here. And this is the first doctrine that the devil uses against the church. It is the doctrine of the flesh, the doctrine of Balaam. What does this doctrine seek to achieve? Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication? The devil is not going to put a native doctor with white chalk on the head and all that. He's going to use people with suit like this. Very handsome people, very beautiful people, very beautiful ladies, handsome men, to sponsor this kind of doctrine. Because this kind of doctrine is not sold in the marketplace. It is sold from the altar. It is sold from the pulpit. And the purpose of selling this doctrine is to energize the flesh. So any message that leaves your flesh active is a rip in the mouth of the beast. And the effect is to energize the beast. So that when somebody come up now and tell you that it doesn't matter, even if you die on top of a woman, you will go to heaven. I know where that doctrine is coming from. I know who is telling it. Because you can't hear that kind of message and be serious with your spiritual life. That kind of doctrine seeks to promote the flesh. So anytime you hear any message, anytime you hear any ministration that does not prosper your spirit, that does not leave you with a desire to pray more, that puts you in a comfort zone, that makes it look like even though you play with sin, God is not angry with you. You know what is happening? The doctrine of Balaam. There's a doctrine of the flesh. There's a rip in the mouth of a beast that has caught up with you. And the purpose of, you remember how this man advised Balaam that he should gather the Moabitish women, make them dress seductively, and pass through Israel. Their men will fall. We have people like that even in our choir. Why will you come to church with a micro minister? There is a doctrine that is powering you. Why will you want to show and expose your body? And when we ask you, say, it doesn't matter. God looks at the heart. You are a liar. What is in the heart must reflect in the outside. That's how it functions. So we have people who are equipping the Moabitish women such that it got to a point that a man, one of the things that this doctrine sponsors is arrogance. One of the children of Israel took a Moabitish woman, passed Moses, passed all the elders of Israel without regard, and laid on her in the presence of Moses and all the children of Israel and all the elders in Israel. That is when you see people become proud in their sin, people become proud in immorality. Because the kind of things we see today, Paul didn't boast. How will somebody be boasting? The kind of boasting people boast today, we are things that were abominable. Somebody can come out, like you were saying, he will say, even if I die on top of a woman, I will go to heaven. Who taught us how to boast like this? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Because is it First Corinthians? Let's see First Corinthians. I think it should be First Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul received a report about the kind of immorality. It's first. No, it's five. It's five. It's First Corinthians, not second. Let's go there. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among even the Gentiles. They are afraid of doing this kind of thing that a pastor can come and be boasting about. Something is wrong. I told you, I said, I saw a pastor, he blocked me. He posted anything and he warned his followers. He said, if anybody say pain, I'll deal with him. And nobody, they were, I went there, I blocked, he blocked me till today. These are people boasting in sin. You know, somebody wrote something 2 weeks ago. He said, the argument, it was like a debate. He said, if a believer dies in the process of adultery, will he go to heaven? Now, I don't need to go into that debate. But the point is that the Bible says precious is the death of the saint. Is that kind of death the precious death? Is that how you intend to die? On top of a woman? Is there any preciousness connected to that kind of death? Now, do you know that even this man that we're examining, Balaam, when he saw the children of Israel and saw their glory, he was contracted to curse them. But when he went there and saw their glory, he said, may I die the death of the righteous. Balaam, may I die. He said, may I die the death of... Yes, there are believers who are wishing to die on top of a woman and go to heaven. Something is wrong. So the first three that was captured in the mouth of the beast was the doctrine of Balaam. Say with me, the doctrine of Balaam. He's an expert counselor. He told them, say, the only thing that can make God angry with these people if he perceives sin in their midst. The only thing that can make God, in fact, there is no amount of curse I curse these people that walk. The man raised how many altars, spent a lot of money. He could not curse them. He said, the only thing you need to do is that set your women, let them seduce these people into adultery, into fornication. God will become their number one enemy. So anytime you begin to hear matters that give you comfort in the flesh, that makes you comfortable in the flesh, then the doctrine of Balaam is at work. And the doctrine of Balaam is the doctrine of the flesh, and such doctrine empowers the beast. The devil is not powerful. The power of the devil lies in your member. The power of the devil lies here in the flesh. So it is what you make available to him. When the flesh is available, the beast will arise. It's a law. It's automatic. You saw the scripture, Daniel chapter 7. He said, and it was said to the beast, arise and do what? I can't hear. Arise and do what? Why? Because flesh has arrived. So it means that before then, the beast was on the ground. So the only way to permanently keep the beast on the ground is to keep flesh away. So once the flesh is absent, the position of the beast is on the ground. Present flesh, he's empowered. You know, in my youth service, yeah, that was in 2005, I went to a land called Ogugu. And when I went to that place, they warned me. They said, this place is the land of witches and wizards. Then I knew that the only technology to survive in this place is to be in the spirit. So I have one called my friend called Dr. Joe. That one will do abortion for women, collect money, do all kinds of things. He was there. I locked myself inside the room for 3 days. I said I will not see the sun. Dry fasting. Because you have to. Every land has a principality. That's why I said to you, see, nothing happens by chance in this kingdom. You hear him preach, you see some things he talks about. There was a conscious walking. Things don't jump on people. You don't jump into things. Things don't happen like that. Things are worked out. That's why I said, work out your salvation. With fear, work out. Now, there's a difference between work out and work for. You don't work for your salvation because salvation is free. So you don't work for it. You work it out. It means there's something that has been given in you, but you need to work it out. Are you hearing me? Work out your salvation. For 3 days, I was inside that room. I didn't see the sun. Praying in tongues. I breathed. This one is not. The prayer has to be 3 days. Is how many hours? How many? The prayer has to be 72 hours. You know, you come to a point where just make sure that your mouth is moving. Even if you are driving, you are in the plane, just let your mouth be moving. But when I finished that fasting, there was a level of discipline that came upon me. Because the first thing that comes on any core member that enters that is the spirit of immorality. That's the first thing that welcomes you. And by the time you are a preacher, you know, one thing can spoil your testimony. You arrive there carelessly, you fall. The devil has silenced you. That's the end of that 1 year service. Even if you repent, and you have no voice again. So there was a level of discipline that was inculcated by that exercise. The flesh was dealt with. And you know what? The kind of revival till today that has never happened in that land. You know what we do? During market days, me and my students, we go to the market square and preach the gospel. Hundreds of people will give their life to Christ. In the same land where Copa has come, careless, even believers. One was a very strong believer, Nigh First President. My friend, he came there, he was caught up with the corruption in that land. He became a facilitator of malpractice. His mouth, the devil silenced his mouth. There's a way the devil can silence you. If you want to make noise, he'll remind you. And they will just corner you, The revival was so much that even when I was their physics teacher, we'll be teaching like this, electromagnetic induction. I would tell them, you know what is electromagnetic induction? That thing that Jesus did to that woman. When you bring a neutral body that has no charge and it touches a body that has charge, it is charged. Physics. Somebody's already speaking in tongue. I said, that woman was a neutral body, but Jesus was a charged body. So electromagnetic induction took place. She touched Jesus and virtue left. You have used scripture to teach physics. Our physics class used to end in revival. Before the class, people are already crying. And that is why they fail, because most of them are graduates. That thing that makes you think that spirituality will make you dull is a lie. It's a lie of the devil. You can't carry the spirit of the wise God and be dull. Most of my students are graduates today. We go for market evangelism. We preach, we conduct crusades. That time, you know, our salary, our allowance was there. I think they just increased it to 7.5 then. Before the money comes, crusade has already taken it. We bought generator for crusade. As I was leaving, I left it with the church. So you don't, people finish service and they save, some of them say 50,000, 60,000, all that. I didn't leave with one. In fact, the last money I had to donate it to the church. Say, use this one and buy a block for your building. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot be a carnal Christian. You cannot be a carnal Christian and mind the things that prospers the purpose of God. That's why the devil wants you to be carnal. That's why he wants to keep you where you will keep hearing messages that will gratify the desires of the flesh. Jesus was the one that wrote this letter. He identified those three ribs in the mouth of that beast. They are called the doctrines of the flesh. He told, he said, I know your works and your labor, but I have something against you. If every message you hear is for you, you are in trouble. Jesus has never ever told you, I have something against you. Everything you hear is for. If God be for us, you shout, you jump. There are times he's against you. Are you hearing me? There are times, if he loves you, there are times he will bring some things. He said, there are some things I have. There are some things I have. Nevertheless, I have some things against you, that you uphold those that teach the doctrine of Balaam. The man can lie just to get money. He can fabricate. You know, have you ever seen those prophets that come to you and say, they'll look at you, they'll say, I see your father's house now, and there's an orange tree by the left. Every house has orange tree. And then there is this. Then by the time they finish, they will tell you, go and bring 10,000 and 5 naira. That 5 naira must be there to make it look mysterious. No, maybe it's only me that have had this. I don't know whether you have had that kind of thing. Have you ever had that kind of prophecy? That they will ask a particular amount, then they will put one small fraction on top. You know why? They want to make it look spiritual. Bring 10. I went with one prophet like that to a place, to one guy. The guy collected somebody's phone. He manipulated the phone and he checked all the information in the phone. He was checking the pictures in the phone. Then he saw the husband of the woman was a uniform man, civil defense. The next day, that was his message. All the things he saw in the phone, as we were coming, I carried him in the car. He was seeing the names of the villages and all that. Those guys are intelligent. Then he crammed it. I died. I died. Now that one didn't. What moved? What touched me? What pain? What broke my heart was that he raised money, and then collected the names of the people he raised the money from, and promised that he was going to be praying for them. Then when we left, counted the money, took the names, and threw away. The guys that we are sowing, in their mind, there's a prophet that is praying for me. But he collected, I went and I picked the names. I said, Lord, I will pray for these people. He threw the name away. He had collected the money, pocketed it and all that. I said, no. I will pray for these people. I went and gathered the names and went with it. These are the kind of prophets we have today. One came to Brazil. And then before he came, he paid for two of his agents. He paid their flight ticket. They came and they were mixing with people. They will come. You think they are your friend. How now? They will collect your information and ask you some things. Meanwhile, he sent them ahead. I won't mention his name. The people respect him so much. If somebody told me that, that somebody is under or submitting under a man of God that is genuine, does not mean some of them do that just for approval. They come, Omopai is a genuine man of God. Under Adeboye is a genuine man of God. What they want is validation. What they want is, what they seek for is approval. It's not that they are genuine. Are you hearing me? So, the guy came and took out his singlet. He cut it into pieces. People came with Kai. That's why when you say you won't pray for people, there are people that invest wrongly. If it is something that has to do with the prosperity of God's people, they don't give. People were giving $1,000 to take one part of this leg. I don't know. For healing, for bring one part of the singlet, you pay $1,000 to take it. When you lack power, you can do that. So don't be. If you lack power, you can do it. Say with me, the doctrine of Balaam. Go back to our scripture. The doctrine of Balaam. Now, this is a serious matter because it was Jesus that pointed this matter out. Jesus was the one that pointed out this matter. I have a few things against you, for you uphold those that teach the doctrine of Balaam. The guy cut his singlet into pieces. I don't know how many he got, maybe about 400 pieces. Just imagine 1,000 times 400, how much he got. Everybody came. People were rushing, even when the thing finished. Just pay $1,000, you take one part of the singlet. These men don't carry, these men, they don't have power. They have nothing. They are empty. They are empty. These are people that fabricate miracles. They go, they contract people to come as blind people. They contract people to come in as lame. The doctrine of Balaam. Revelation chapter 2. When money becomes your motivation, you're under the influence of this doctrine. For me personally, I believe that the letter of Jesus is superior to any of the epistles. The letter of Jesus is superior to all the Pauline epistles. The letter of Peter, the letter of John, the letter of James. This was the letter of the owner of the church to the church. But I have few things against you, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. That's the first three. The doctrine of Balaam, in other words, is called materialism. The doctrine of materialism. Materialism. All these things are aimed at sponsoring the flesh. They are aimed at sponsoring the flesh. The next verse. So hast thou also them that hold what? The doctrine of the Nicolaitan, which thing I hate. I'm going to show you something this night. Jesus said, I hate this one. So the doctrine of the Nicolaitan, that word Nicolaitan comes from the word, the Hebrew word Nicholas. And that word Nicholas means eat everything. Now, this Nicholas was one of the deacons in Acts chapter 6 who later formed a sect because he began a movement called the movement of liberalism. Now, that move was centered on the teaching that Jesus has saved your spirit, so whatever you do with your flesh does not matter. It didn't start today. This man was the author of the hyper grace message. Nicholas. So it is when you see a man that is a pro-hyper grace apologist, just know that Jesus hates that activity. Nicholas is a Greek word. You can look it up. It means eat all. What does that mean? It entertains everything. It doesn't consider what you do with your flesh, because the summary of the salvific message is that your spirit has been saved. But I want to let you know that in our very eyes, that doctrine will fail. In our very eyes, it will fail. I will show you why it will fail. Just stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me a little. The man was a deacon. But he abdicated himself from sound doctrine and then began a move. And that move caught up with a lot of people. That was a move that promoted the flesh. That was a move that told them that you can do anything with your flesh, and yet God will still be pleased with you. Jesus said, So you have also them who uphold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. The scripture you read in Deuteronomy. They provoked him to anger. Now, this message was the origin and the root of hypergrace, the hypergrace movement. This man became the father of the liberals. And that is why I hope you know that the platform that will eventually launch the Antichrist is a platform of socialism or capitalism or the capitalist platform. Now, all these two are hinged to the liberals. That's why you see in America, you see bishops, you see men of God who are on the side of the liberals. And that is because the Antichrist government cannot be established until certain powerful part of the evangelicals lend their voice. It will happen in our presence. I will explain why that will happen. Now, I hope you know that last week, the Pope just legalized. Well, it even came to say this should have happened long ago. The next step is that the Catholic Church will begin to entertain the marriage of gays. Where did all this thing come from? Go back to our scripture. The Nicolaitans. So when you talk about prayer, you talk about power, the devil knows the only thing to stop this thing, just ignite the flesh. Because there is no possibility for power where the flesh is active. It's not possible. It's not possible. So the first thing you do, Jesus was showing the church the doctrines that facilitate the flesh. He said, I hate this work. I think some of you are hoping to disappear. We are going to be here together. You are not disappearing anywhere. You are not going to disappear anywhere. So that will be the first shock, because they have told you you cannot lose your salvation. Abby, I'm not going to go into that doctrine, but in your very eyes you will discover that the government of the Antichrist will be launched and will be here, will not disappear. And that is why the church is not sensitive. They have sold their lies to us. Instead of the church to be building their banking system, their economic system, their cyber system, their healthcare system, they are not doing it because they know, they are thinking that they will disappear. So a time will come where you will have to be forced to pass through the protocols of the new world order. Refusing to do that will cost your life. And then there's no alternative, because the church is not preparing. The church is thinking that she will disappear and then the Antichrist will come. We are going to be here together. I think I showed you a script, some of you that were not here. I showed you Revelation chapter 20 verse what? So many of you were not here. Can we do it again? For the benefit of those that were not here, let's do it. Let me show you that you will be here. You will not disappear anywhere. You are not going to disappear. You will be here. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. Verse 4 and 5. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years we are finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, my question is, what is the first resurrection? Can anybody answer that? Rapture. Now, he said, verse 5 informs us that, wait, go back. Verse 5 informs us that the rest of the dead did not live again. until the 1,000 years. But those that were killed for the testimony of Jesus, those that were decapitated for the message of Christ, lived again. They partook of the first resurrection, which is the rapture. But it is also explicitly clear that the event that occasioned their death was a pre-first resurrection event. Do you understand that?
Kai, no, you are not following me.
Are you following me? Should I come again?
Okay,
the Bible says that this is the first resurrection. And me and you agree that the first resurrection is the rapture. Are we okay?
Okay, now,
I will use your question to explain it to you. Who were the ones that partook, or who were the ones that participated in this first resurrection? Let's give it context from verse 4. Who were the ones that participated? I want somebody that is confident. Stand up.
Those
that were beheaded for their witness of Christ. They were the ones that participated in the first resurrection. And the first resurrection is what? What was it that occasioned their death? What occasion? Why did they die? There's something I'm looking for. What occasioned their death? And to take, let's take it literally, their refusal to take the mark of the beast. Does that not tell you that the matter of the mark of the beast will be an event that will precede the first resurrection? Is it not explicit here? Is there any confusion here? Is there any confusion? So tell your neighbor, we are here together. So if you are planning any emergency disappearance, forget it. The church in the wilderness, they were there in Egypt though, when all the plague happened. It was after the plague that they left. And you think you will disappear? The way the church existed is Egypt, is the same way we are going to exist. We are going to be here together. The reason why some of you want to disappear is because of the flesh. The comfort of people like the flesh. One young man told me, he said, if somebody confront him and say deny Jesus, he said, we deny Jesus because he's wise. Then after he will go and preach Christ. By the time they set him free, he will go and preach. But he first of all deny, so that they will leave him to live. You are already dead. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He said, they catch him now and put gun on his head. Say, deny Jesus, then we leave you. Or hold on to your faith, we kill you. He said he will deny Christ. Then by the time the people release him, he will go and start preaching. He will go to hell. And you know, sometimes you will deny Jesus, they will still kill you. Have you not read about the apostates in Hebrews chapter 6? Those are the ones that have tasted of the power of the world to come. Yet they publicly, some of you read that scripture, still they deceive you. Have you not read it before? The Bible says that those that will deny Jesus, after that they have tasted of the power of the world to come, there is no way they can come back to repentance. And they are telling you, that is why people like to hear this. It is because nobody is ready to die for Christ. Nobody is ready to lay down his life or her life. Now, live ready to die. Until you are dead, you can't carry. Forget it. You can manifest it, but you can't manifest the reality of the power of the age to come. I've tested this and I know what I'm talking from a depth. For you to manifest the power of God, that your spirit can connect to something, your spirit can unleash, you must die. You must be a dead man. Know ye not that as many of us that we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized baptized into his death. That as Christ, as we were buried with Christ by baptism, and as God has raised him by the glory, by his glory, even so are we to walk in the new. So you can't walk in the newness of that life without first of all identifying the death of Jesus. So when you hear people like Paul say, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. I'm sure if Boko Haram enter here now and ask us to deny Christ. Now let me ask a sincere question, because if you are not sincere, then you are not ready. If Boko Haram enter here now, be sincere, be very honest, and point a gun on your head and tell you to deny Christ, that if you don't deny Christ, you'll be killed. Be honest. Now, I don't want you to lie. Tell me the truth. How many of you will stand for Jesus? If you know you will not stand, just put your hand down. If you will not stand, if you know you will stand, put your hand up. If you lie, don't lie. Be sincere. How many of you will uphold Jesus and be ready to die? Now, it is not a sin. Now, listen to me. It's not a crime. I know some of you will lie. It's not a crime. I'm not going to condemn you for putting down your hand. It's just a heart check. In fact, this will even determine whether you will live here blessed. Because if God is seeing the, if you become a hypocrite, God cannot do anything with you. God seeks truth. Now, how many of you under that condition will not deny Jesus? Let me see your hand up. I love what is happening here. You see sincerity. It means that there is hope. If you have lied, nobody can help you. I love what you did now. Those of you that didn't raise your hand, God will help you this night. The first testimony, the first blessing is that you didn't lie. Because that is who you are. And until you present to God who you are, he can't help you. They came to, God told him, he said, what is your name? He didn't lie. He said, I'm Jacob. I'm a thief. I'm a supplanter. He said, okay, because you have told the truth, from today, your name shall be Israel. So you must tell God that you are Jacob first. You must tell him that. You must tell him who you are. You must tell him that you have not sustained the capacity to stand for him in the face of adversity. Tell him, I am Jacob. Tell him who you are. Now, let me tell you something. You know, when you went to the airport, I think it was your head they put that thing. You show green or your right hand. So there are two ways they can either your head or your right hand. Now let me tell you. Let's do Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Let's do Revelation 13. Show me the last three verses. So, but let's establish something first. Apostle, there are places they do that measurement, right? The forehead and the right hand. They test run their capacity. Because it will not be masked again. It will be marked. They launched it out. The church even obeyed it. Some pastors even said, no, you don't need to go. That's how many pastors recite the government of the Antichrist. That is what is happening. People, when I say that, until a major part of the evangelical support the Antichrist, the government of the Antichrist will never be established. What this thing I'm telling you, see, you will remember this date, oh. We will be together. You will remember this message. So that when those men arise, remember, they are going to be major part of those that will advocate for the government of the Antichrist. They will lend their voice and they will stand tall to defend the cause of the New World Order. Just like many of them stood up and said, we will not open our church. Forget about this, that. Some of them said some funny things that look logical, but it is carnal. that looks sensible, but it was the flesh that powered such things. What is the normal temperature of a man? What? No, it is 36.1. Now, if you do what we call approximation in math, you bring it to 36. Now, when they put the thing on your head, if it gives you a number that is more than that, it shows red. That means you don't have the mark. But if it gives 36, they say pass. What is 36? The three in front is telling you that there are three sticks. That's the temperature. They are measuring the temperature. If you are 36, you are qualified. You can enter the flight. You can go to the bank. You can buy. Somebody say 36. I didn't hear you. Say 36. You didn't hear me. You are not following. Say 36. How many six are in the mark? So that's why they put that thing on your head, to know whether you are 36. If you are 36, your temperature is okay. You have the normal number pass. They put it in your hand because there are two places. If you show 36, 36, 666, pass. But they confused you. The only number on your head, they wake you up from the sleep with 666. Meanwhile, it may not even manifest as 666. Because the Bible says, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Why is it that it is your right hand and your forehead they check before you enter? And you must come under the normal temperature of man, which is 36. Green, then you can pass. See where the scripture proves that. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that has the mark, the one that when they put that thing on you, you will come under that temperature. If you don't have it, you will not pass. And that's why you have to speak in tongue. They check again. They say pass. Now, how will it manifest? Say with me, it will manifest as a mark. Somebody say mark. So it may manifest as a mark. What is a mark? A mark is a logo. So when some will be waiting for 666, they have launched it already as a logo. You don't know. We'll be waiting for 666. That's why the Bible says, let him that is wise calculate. So it's not enough to be anointed in this end time. Wisdom is required. Those that are not wise will be dealt with. This season, the season we are living in, is not a season that just requires for power. It's a season that calls for wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. So it means that it can manifest as a mark. Go back. Let me show you three ways it can manifest. It can manifest as a mark. It can manifest as a name. It can manifest as a number. I know the name, but I won't go into that. No. I won't be tempted to go into that. We have calculated it and we know the name. We also know the logo. And of course, the number is known. Everybody knows the number. We know it. So these things are upon us. Those that will survive in this season are those that understand the move of the kingdom age. Those that are carried away in church activities and all. See, church has expired. The four walls, the thing you see. But we still continue. Do you know that anything that happened now, they close church? So if your strength is on, if your strength is on account of what goes on within the four walls, you have lost it. You have lost it. The government will prefer to keep schools open, keep banks open, keep hospitals open, than to keep the church open. So you see, there is a doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and that doctrine is a doctrine of liberalism. You see, the first doctrine is materialism. That's the first three. The second doctrine is the move of the Nicolaitans, which is sequel to the gospel of the hyper grace that we have today, liberalism. The liberals. And the person that preached the first message, the first liberal message, was the devil. Why are you discriminating against this tree? What did this tree do? What is wrong with gay marriage? And they had to eat it. And consequence upon that, they were driven out of the garden. We have those kind of messages repackaged in our days. The Nicolaitans, they are the liberals. They are the ones that tell you that your spirit has been saved. So it doesn't matter what your flesh does. It doesn't matter what you do with your body. You are saved. What is the third one? I think the third one is found in verse 20. The third one. Can we see? That's, we are going back to Revelation chapter 2. We are going back to Revelation chapter 2. Let's be fast. Are you there? I think verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. These were the three major doctrines that Jesus warned against: the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and the doctrine of Jezebel. You know the doctrine of Jezebel? The doctrine of Jezebel is the doctrine that promotes immorality. It's a doctrine that promotes the lust of the flesh. And that's why some pastors can confidently boast that masturbation is not a sin. I heard this from a pastor I respected so much. I cried. What is the meaning? What is the motive for that kind of message? Jezebel has put hand. Jezebel's hand is in that matter. He said, I have a few things against you because you uphold the teaching of the woman called Jezebel. Let me tell you, the only way to handle Jezebel is not by anointing. Anointing cannot handle Jezebel. The only way to handle Jezebel is to become an Enoch. You know that Jehu was anointed. But when Jehu came, Jezebel saw her from afar and was painting her face. She wasn't moved. And then Jehu understood that this kind of matter is not a matter that requires the anointing. It's a matter that requires purity. Who are the Enochs? They are the ones that King trust his wife in their hand. Can Jesus trust his wife to you? You know who is the wife of the king? Is the church. In those days, the king will entrust his wife in the hand of the Enoch. You know why? The Enoch does not have the capacity to have pleasure with a woman. And the king, can Jesus look at you as a pastor like this and entrust his bride in your hand? And then Jehu looked at the Enochs and said, who is here among us? It was the Enochs that took Jezebel and threw her from the window. If the spirit of Jezebelism will be thrown out of our window, then we need to raise men that value purity. And because we have this blessed hope, we purify ourselves. If you don't have this hope, you will not value purity. So there is a level of discipline you must sustain to deal with Jezebel is not a matter of anointing. It's a matter of discipline. That's why when Paul wrote, he said, flee. There are matters that you have to run. Discipline. So it means that even if you come out from 10 days prayer and fasting, Satan can present a Jezebel to you. What you need to do is not to bind, is run. That's the Enoch dimension. It is only the Enoch dimension that can throw Jezebel out of the window. You'll be shocked that after your 10 days prayer and fasting, you think that, you know, that is the God, that if you are not wise, you will fall. If you are not wise. So Jehu, even though he was anointed, didn't confront her. He sent what? The Enochs. Some of you are here. You allow sisters coming to your room. They even pass the night. You speak in tongues. You know, a man cannot keep coal in his bosom and not be burnt. Even though you didn't do anything with her, your anointing has leaked over the night. Something happened. There is a leakage. Some of you, there is a leakage. And that's why you don't have what it takes to sustain power. Because you are living a very indisciplined life. Let us check your phone. And let's see the content. You know I can carry my phone now. I can carry my phone now and give to you and say, carry it. And give you the password. I'm preaching. I don't have... Some people cannot even give their wives their password. Because the content inside that phone is Jezebelic. If we stamp even here now, the point is that I know that after this night, you may have to revisit your phone. There are certain things, content you need to delete. So we are even confused because the kind of song we hear you play, we see Celine Dion here, we see Frank Edwards, we see a collection of different kinds of songs. What this song? This one here. This. Where are you standing? So when you speak, heaven cannot even because when you speak, many things are represented. Celine Dion here, this here, so we cannot be able to know where you are standing. Having this hope, we purify ourselves. There is something God is doing tonight. You see, I see the Spirit. God told me here, He said, I will clothe these people with the garment of purity. I had God, when we are ministering, I saw a glory. That glory is so pure that you can see through it. Crystal. And God said, I will see it upon these people. So I'm believing God that there is going to be a distribution of the garment of purity. God is already working on some people. They came to accuse that priest Zachariah because he was wearing a filthy garment. He was putting on a filthy garment. But God sent an angel to rebuke. But you know, God didn't leave him like that. That garment, that wretched garment, was removed, and a new garment was placed. God is going to take away garments of sin, garments of wretchedness, garments of immorality, and there is going to be a decoration of everyone here that is hungry. The garment of purity. Now, you know, that garment comes with a smell, with an aura. Do you know, if somebody is operating in this, you can smell it. If there is an evil person that enters here, I smell it. One day I will talk about the five senses. spiritual senses. One of them is smell. You enter into an atmosphere, you can smell. When there is an evil spirit in a place, you can smell that something is not right here. That's one of the capacities. You can see a place, and if a fake prophet enters here, I know there's a smell that comes with his ministration. There's one smell, one odor. Let me just do one more scripture and then we'll pray. Kai. Someone. Have we done the third doctrine? What's the third doctrine? Let me see whether you are following. What's the first? The second one. And what's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? Liberality. I'm talking about Psalm 110. Kai. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Verse 2. The Lord shall send forth his rod, the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Saying, rule thou in the midst of your enemies. Now let me tell you something. It is not everybody that has this ordination. It's not everybody that can rule in the midst of his enemies. Now let us probe into this. Who are those that can rule in the midst of the enemies? The Lord shall send. Now the next verse. The next verse. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now let me tell you. You preach. You were preaching here. And people were crying. It's ordinary. Go and try it. And people are crying. And Peter preached. The people came and the Bible said, and they were pricked in their heart. And they said, what shall we do to be saved? Thy people shall be willing in the day of that. When I was serving in those days, people come to my room to give their life to Christ. They come, they say, we are looking for, why are you looking for Papa Ike? We want to give our life to Christ. I didn't preach to them. We come in a physics class. You begin to hear tongues from back. And she will be under that dealing for 3 hours. Things don't happen by chance. God taught me that very early. Kai. You know, sometimes when I'm preaching like this, I just feel like exploding. I just feel like there's something I want to put in some. I don't know how. God help me. I see a generation that will rise. Kai. Until people see you and there is a contagious anointing, they can contact that which is in you. You have not started. I went to a place in Brazil and I sat down to eat in a restaurant. Somebody was sleeping inside. The Lord woke her up and said, go. There's a Nigerian preacher there. That was when I knew that God knew me. It was an accredited. So Lord, in this place, you can go and tell somebody to go. I entered into that restaurant. Somebody was sleeping. God visited her dream and said, stand up and go and serve my servant. There is a Nigerian pastor here. She came and said, where is the Nigerian pastor? When she said that, I knew that there was an accreditation from heaven. So it boosted my confidence. I said, so God know me. That he will send somebody that was. There is a territory you enter. Before you enter, God has announced you. Demons are already aware. It's a say, where is the Nigerian pastor? I say, I'm here. You know, that then I use interpreter. The interpreter said, this man is looking for the Nigerian pastor. I say, how? God told me that the Nigerian pastor is here. Go and serve him. And then that my interpreter, we were traveling from a place called Saturday one day. The tempest and the storm. Everybody in that place literally died. Then my interpreter was shaking. As he was shaking, God told him, he said, Pastor Ike Skupita is by your side. That was the solution. He didn't shake again. That is, a plane was about to crash. Somebody was shaking, and God told him, he said, somebody is sitting by your side. So that you come to a place that you have struck a chord in eternity. That your presence in a place can avert tragedy. And then God can say, my servant is there. So your presence in that place is enough to sustain tranquility, even though something was about to happen. But because Pastor Chinedu entered, the cosmos has to obey. The elements of creation has to bow, because somebody stepped in. A man that has the validation of heaven. I was seated. He didn't even tell me until we landed. He said, God told me, say, why are you shaking? Why are you seated by the side of my servant? And that's why Jesus could sleep even when the storm was strong. He could sleep. Kai. We live here tonight to step in a place and the atmosphere will just change. People will begin to cry. You don't know why. They have seen a man that bears the monarch of Zion. People shall be willing in the day of thy power. Carnal men cannot operate in this zone. Sir, they came to arrest Jesus. And when the soldiers came, he said, I am he. They fell back. I am he. They fell back. Jesus saw Peter on the other side, and they said to him, Master, are you the one? If you are the one, bid me come. Everything it will take to disobey and mesmerize the law of flotation was packaged in that small word, come. Just that word, come. He walked on the river on the strength of come. Everything he needed to disobey that physics law that says no matter can float except you have an airspace. It's a physics law. It was mesmerized because a man of authority said, come. A man of authority does not speak much. Come. Psalm 110. I want to conclude. I can smell the fragrance of purity. In the beauty of holiness. Holiness is beautiful. In the beauties of holiness.
From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Can I explain, sir? He said, in the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Have you ever experienced this kind of thing? Have you experienced this before? You walk in the morning through a path that has grass, and then when you discover that the tip of your trouser is wet. That's it. But it didn't rain, no. That's the dew of the morning. It comes out early. You have time, oh. Some of you there are. If in the next 15 years you give your life to Christ, you have wasted your life. What God desires is the dew of your youth. Now that you have pleasure to commit fornication, but you say no, desire the beauty of holiness. That's when it is valued now. It's not when you are 50 years. You are 60 years. When God wants it, is in the womb of the morning. When you have the dew of your youth. As a young man like this, you make up your mind. I will serve God till I die. It's a cord in the spirit. You are a young girl. You are beautiful. Beautiful. Very beautiful. You are 18, 20. You say, guy, I will keep myself. Others can bow, but I will not bow. The dew of your youth. I don't know how old you are, sir, but you say, as far as I live, I will keep myself for my wife. The dew of your morning. You are handsome, young, energetic. You can carry any kind of woman you want. But you say, I will hold the horn of the altar and die there. The dew of your youth. Having this hope, we purify ourselves. Leave him. Opportunity to eat the king's delicacies. They were not under any obligation. They said, no, separate us. We will eat vegetable. We proposed in our hearts not to defile ourselves. Nobody was monitoring them. There was no pastor with them. It's a decision. It is called the spirit of holiness. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. It brings upon you the beauty of the Lord. I am Anaya. The gift that the Lord will give you today is that He will decorate you. He will clothe you with the spirit of purity. This hope, I purify myself. Having this hope, I purify myself. It is now. The dew. And you know something? This meeting is characterized by a particular age grade, the youth, the young people. You want to live your life anyhow, then when you are 50, when you are 60. There is an age that you get to, even the devil will reject you. Because he can't even use you to seduce people. I don't know how you will pray. But I want to give you 5 minutes to react to what you have heard. If you want to lie down, you can lie down. If you want to kneel down, you can kneel down. If you want to cry, you can cry. Thank you. God see your heart. Present to him the dew of your youth. The dew of your youth. This is the best time that heaven can harvest you. This is the best time that heaven can harvest you. The dew of your youth. Your precious season. Name. I want you to hold somebody. Hold somebody. We are going to take the communion with an unusual scripture. We are going to take the communion, but there is a prayer you will pray. Now let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If the person you are holding, you can't feel that current, that person is a suspect. Just leave it. See, there is a radiation. There is something you will feel. There is something you will feel. That person you are holding, there is something you will feel. There is a current. 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 There is a current that is transmitting. Let that current transmit. Let that current transmit. Let that current transmit. Let that current. There are 65 people. 65 people. 65 people coming under a strong mantle. Coming under a strong prophetic mantle. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Power to the left, to the right, in the middle. Power, power. Must break, 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 break. Thank you.
Jesus.
Listen. Try and come back. First Samuel chapter 30. On the strength of this scripture, we are going to take the communion. I'm not teaching, I'll finish. I'm not teaching again. I just want to show you something. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Go ahead. Go. 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 Just because of time. Go. Now here, wait. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him to drink water. He didn't drink. You know, there is a difference between you drank water and they made you to drink. Even if you are not willing to change, God will bring you under a compulsion. God will force a change on you. They made him to drink water. Now, this man lost his identity. He was the servant of an Amalekite. In the first place, an Amalekite is a servant. So he became the servant of a servant. He was an Egyptian. Now he said to David, verse 12, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisin. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had not eaten bread nor drunk water 3 days and 3 nights. Let's hear his testimony. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. What Satan intends to do is to use you, sap every resources, and abandon you to die. This young man was skillful. He could rob banks. He could destroy cities. He was a skillful man. But his skill and his energy was directed to a wrong master. And consequent upon that, his potentialities were sapped and he was left to die. Because 3 days ago I fell sick. So the devil saw it that he didn't need him again. So let me tell you, there is a point you come to in life, even Satan will reject you. When you are no more useful to him, this guy was no longer useful to him. Satan had taken everything he had. And then he came to this point. he was to die. Look at what David did. Verse 14. And when we made an invasion on the south of this, that we destroyed, we killed, we did everything. Then David asked him, can you lead me to this army? Now David was a warrior, an army. That young man had the capacity to lead a leader. He had the capacity to lead David, the army of David. You know who David is? An army, a warrior. He could lead David, but here his destiny was in the hand of an Amalekite. You didn't catch what I'm saying. Let's see what David asked him. And David said to him, can thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me that thou will not kill me, nor deliver me. I have discovered the futility and the waste. Somebody is here saying, if I live here, Lord, you are making a covenant. I will not go back to the Amalekites again. I've seen the extent of damage they brought to my soul. I will lead you there, but I will not go back again to pornography. Swear to me that you will not bring me to the hands of my master, and I will lead you. The first thing is that this man was a leader of leaders. He was skilled in the technology of warfare. He could lead David. But yet, he was wasting in the hand of an Amalekite. Wasting in the plague of pornography. Wasting in the plague of the doctrines of the flesh. But thank God, the army of God saw him. And he eventually became one of the generals of David. They made him to drink. God will make you to drink the blood and eat the bread. When he did that, the Bible says his spirit came back to him. There are many people that are here, but they are not here. After this communion, your reality will appear again. Lost glories shall be restored by this exercise. Take me back to that scripture. When he had eaten and drunk, his spirit came back to him. He became himself. He realized that he could lead the army of God. Your assignment will find footing again. The eternal purposes of God captured for your life will find footing again. Many years ago, you used to dream, receive visions. God used to use you very well. But today, you don't see those things again. It has disappeared into the thin air. There will be restoration. One of the things that this communion will do is that it will restore. And they gave him a piece of cake. In this case, we are giving you the body of Jesus. And that body will quicken your mortal body. It will knock off the capacities of the flesh and the lust of the flesh. As it comes, it's a technology. When he ate, and when he had eaten, his spirit came again. His spirit traveled before. His spirit came again to him. For he had drunk. For he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water. 3 days and 3 nights. Now let me tell you. Some of you, by the time you take this communion, a different spirit will possess you. So your own program comes to an end the time you take your communion. So it can be, once you take it, various things will happen. We will not also close this service today. We will drop the mic. Will it be a sacrilege? Is there a law against anybody sleeping here? In their houses? In the camp? Okay, there's a camp. Well, they will go to the camp. They will go to the camp. Father, this communion shall be for restoration. Gifts shall be restored.
mercy will speak. Lost gifts, graces shall be restored. Mantles shall return. And there will be an injection of the spirit of purity and holiness. What I'm expecting is that hearts will begin to open now. Because you're about to participate in a feast. Now, what you should begin to do now is begin to open your heart. Begin to get hungry. Begin to get hungry. Because the power in this communion, some of you will be under the influence for weeks. We therefore receive this communion, bless it by faith. It is the blood now of the Lamb of God. Disease will disappear. As people take this communion, they will become immunized against sicknesses and infirmities. They will receive strength for the journey. It's a prophetic communion. We receive the body that was given up for us, a sinless body that bore our sin. You said we should do this in memory of you. And the same way he took the cup of his blood and gave thanks and said, this is the blood of the new and everlasting covenant that will be shed for you and for all men for the remission of sins. On the strength of that understanding, we take this communion in the name of Jesus. Let's distribute. Just be praying in tongues before you come. Just be praying in tongues. Go back and allow God to deal with you. When you take it, you go and take a posture. As you take it, there is a garment that is going to come on you. Let's use other things. Drink it, you go, you take a posture. There is a garment that the Lord will put on you. The garment of purity. The garment that comes with the fragrance. Fast. Can we make it faster? If we have Yakatala Bahatuzia, Mina Zina Pata, make it faster. Yes, one more tray. When you take, go back, take a prayer posture. A visitation is coming. A visitation is coming upon you. Yes. Put some here, put some. Take a posture,
By the time everybody have taken, we will water it down in 5 minutes, and then we close. As fast as you can, please.
Have we all taken? Now listen. Now listen. Wait, listen. Listen to this. Listen to this. We are going to release you for 5 minutes to Watertown. What you have taken for 5 minutes, you are going to give yourself to God. You are going to give yourself to the Holy Spirit in the next 5 minutes. Then after 5 minutes, I will ask God, by the corporate anointing that is in this house, for God to place his hand on men. Let us ask Jesus. We are going to use the corporate anointing that is here to ask Jesus to place his hand on men. Jesus will appear to you right where you are, and he will practically place his hand on you. In the next 5 minutes, I want you to pray. I'm going to time you 5 minutes, then we will ask Jesus, by the corporate anointing that is here, we will ask Jesus to place his hand on everyone represented here. Let the communion begin to function now. Let the communion begin to travel through your outreach, through your spirit. Dominion is being restored. Power is being restored. Giftings are being restored. Restoration. Yeah, fire, shala! headache man. I give myself to you, oh Lord. Use me and accomplish your pleasures. Guy, is somebody surrendering to Jesus? Let my life become pleasurable to you. I give up all. I surrender to you. You have 2 more minutes. Pray like I've never prayed before. Consecrate yourself. Sort out Zion. Consecrate yourself. Now, my God, permit me to say this, sir. Then we close. Can I go ahead? The Lord said, now here is this is very, very sensitive. He said, I have raised you to pioneer an apostolic move. He said, I will raise 50 people here. 10 represents a generation, 5 represent grace. There is an order of grace that this conference was meant to become a portal that will transmit that dimension to you. And God is saying, I will prove this now in God's work. Okay. There are 50 people here. 50. Listen to me. 50 people. I don't want distraction. 50 people that the Lord will anoint with a special gift of revelation. They will become expositors of the word. 50 people, and God is saying he has called you to champion this move. Now this 50 will be a mark. He said 50 people will receive that oil. It will drop from heaven. It's already okay. It has been dispatched, Lord, by the corporate anointing. By the corporate anointing that is here, we now ask that you extend your hands on people. Place your hands on them. Separate the 50. Separate the 50. There are 50 of them. 50 of them. There are 50 of them. 50. There are 50 people that will come under an uncommon grace for exposition. There are 50 of them. 50 of them. There are 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 50 of them. It is boiling. It is boiling. It is boiling. Men and women. 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 Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Separate them with that oil. Separate them with that oil. Separate them with that oil. It is the oil of revelation. Oil of revelation and exposition. Wherever they are, wherever, wherever, wherever. To my right, to my left, in the middle. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. There are 50. There are 50. There are 50 of them. 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 Count them out, Lord. There's another release. There's another release. There's another release. Jesus, lay your hands now. Jesus, lay your hands now. Jesus, lay your hands. Lay your hands. Lay your hands. Lay your hands.
Lay your hands. Lay your hands. Lay your hands. Lay your hands. Lay your hands. Put your hands on them. Put your hands on them. Put your hands on them.
Father, if there is anyone here under the influence of any malignant spirit, if there is anyone here under the influence of a foul spirit, if there is anyone here whose life is under the influence of an evil spirit, I now ask that such a one be delivered, such a one be set free, such a one be delivered, such a one be set free, such a one be delivered, such a one be set free, such a one be delivered, such a one be set free, such a one. You serpentine spirit, I curse you. You serpentine spirit, I wakabakwata. Whatever spirit that is not of God, out in the name of Jesus. We identify every spirit that is not of God, and now you are now free in Jesus' name. By the authority that is in the name of Jesus, I declare that the influence of this serpent spirit is over now in Jesus' name. Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. You are now free. You are now free in Jesus' name. Lord, identify any spirit. No one here will live under the influence of any spirit that is not of God. I bind every water spirit, and I cast you out in the name of Jesus. I come in the authority. I come in the power that is in the name of Jesus. And I say, you are free. 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 In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus! Wherever you are, raise your right hand, just your right hand. And in his right hand is the hiding place of his power. Complete your work in her life, Jesus. I am not going to do that.
I knew you were going to come back. Not Jesus.
Jesus.
When the spirit of purity is in a place, people denounce sin. I refuse to go back. These are some of the evidences. It's not just where people fall and what evidentiates God is when people denounce sin. Cry and say, Lord, I come out. You see, there is another office God is adding you to. It is the office of John the Baptist. Is that is the mantle. People will, when people see you, they will begin, they will just hate sin. It's another. And when, so, you see, when I do things, I like to do, God is accurate. One of the things that begin to happen here is that people will begin to denounce sin. People will begin to denounce sin. People will begin to hate sin. People will begin to denounce, even as I'm speaking now, some are already under, that thing is already burning inside your heart. Just some people are already, there are some things are already, some people are already declaring. No, I will never go back anymore. When you remember this night, you will never go back. No, I will never go back anymore. Hey! No, I will never go back anymore. When you remember Pastor Chinedu's face, just see your face in the spirit. You know one thing that helped me when I was growing? The friends I kept. So when I want to do something like this, I remember Pastor Nebu. Remember his remembrance alone checked me. There is a check and balance when you are in a good relationship.
No, I will never go back.
I feel heaven here. Like heaven now.
No,
there are times you lose faith for this world.
I will never go back anymore.
Can you sing this song?
No, I will never go back anymore.
Is there a commitment? Are you making that commitment? Are you making that commitment?
No. I will never go back anymore. No.
God bless you.
I will never go back anymore.
I didn't say you should stop playing.
I will stop.
I promise I will stop now. You know our fathers, those days, when they want to pray, they will say, close your eyes. It was alignment too. They knew that there is a level of distraction where your eye. What they wanted to explain is so that they didn't have they were limited. The kind of knowledge that is available to us now wasn't available to them. But what they were talking about was alignment. So when they say close your eyes, they don't want distraction. That was why there were songs that were bettered under those. You know when you hear songs like,
I have decided to follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
They now say,
the cross before me, the wall behind me. The cross before me, the wall behind me. The cross before me, the wall behind me. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back.
No one joins me.
Kai.
If no one joins me,
it's how it joins me.
So even if I lose friends on this matter, no problem.
If no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
This is the greatest blessing a generation can have, where you see young people crying, crying and telling God that they will not go back, making a commitment and hating sin. An aura, a fragrance.